Let's pray. May the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto Thee, O Lord, my Rock and my Redeemer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. That's one of the verses that used to be shouted at the crowds when I was preaching in Brighton Fish Market. Very salubrious place it was too. And it was ideal for preaching because you had a top deck and then stairs on either side, very much like here. So people would stand all over and throw abuse or stones as they will. But anyway, that's the way we preached. And it was appropriate then. But this text was not written to unconverted people. It was written to the Church of God. Now, in my little existence, I have seen many theological fashions. Probably more theological fashions than ladies' fashions. But that's controversial. I remember in my youth, a man called Robinson, and Honest to God was the great thing there. And teaching us, it's interesting, the liberal theologians, it's either the problem of the book of so-and-so, or it's the thing that they cannot believe. I'd rather concentrate on the things that we've got, the things that we could receive. But nevertheless, that was there. And since then, there has been... the Pentecostal church predates me. Assemblies of God were formed well before my birth. But then, proceeding onwards, there was some controversy over penal substitution and all this. Listen to this. And then, of course, in the world, there's been the attack by the atheists, the new atheists, become far more militant intellectually, saying there's no God. Through all that, I've returned to the simple emphasis that we need the Lord Jesus Christ in his risen glory, but also as he appears in heaven as a lamb that has been slain. We need him to change our lives completely. And that was the emphasis, of course, Billy Graham, was the emphasis of many of the old gospel preachers. And they were right. But some of us got it slightly wrong. The emphasis was so on evangelism and so on getting them saved, and that must be a priority, that we forgot to realise there was still more to follow. And when the scripture says, seek ye the Lord when found, it is to you who are mature believers. The seeking goes on. When you were born again, you did not arrive at the end. No more than a baby emerging, hopefully, does not arrive at its grave with no intervening life. No, when we were born again, we were not coming to the end of something, we were coming to the beginning of something. And that beginning, that life, can be described as seeking after God, finding God. Yes, we have found him, or much more appropriate, he has found us. And perhaps this is the picture, that God finds us and we're born again, and then we must spend the rest of our Christian lives, apart from witness and loads of other things, looking for him, finding him, seeking his hand in our daily life. We need to seek him. We need to lean on him. I did a bit of research on this, thanks to Google or whatever, no, it's some Bible Gateway, ideal one. Anyone who has a computer, my condolences, but also Bible Gateway, I find it an ideal tool. But anyway, and I did a bit of research, and I noticed, and I've been doing my private reading as well, I've been reading in 2 Chronicles. And I looked up the phrase seek ye. I've forgotten the number. I noticed it was concentrated in one particular book. 2 Chronicles. And I thought, why? It deals with kingship. deals with kings. And this is the phrase that the writer of the Chronicles includes about Rehoboam, the one who followed Solomon. But he was an evil king, for he did not seek the Lord with all his heart. To maintain our moral company, we need to go on seeking the face of the Lord. There are Christians today going woefully astray. I'm not in a position to deny their genuine faith. But they need, and I do suspect, that they took their eyes off Jesus. We're no longer seeking him. So it is necessary, if we are to achieve what God has put us into Newtown to achieve, that we keep on searching and looking for God. Yes, he is there. And here's the remarkable thing. That he's all over and around us. I hope you got that from Psalm 139. But we should find him for ourselves. And where should we seek? Well, look into creation. Don't knock it. Don't knock creation. I had a great crisis of faith when I was at university. And I discovered that my morality and the way I conducted my life and the morality as described in Scripture did not coincide. In fact, it was a vast gulf. I was convicted of sin, even though I was a believer. I was convicted of sin. So there were two possibilities. Either I really fall in contrition and turn to Christ, or I decide that I'm going to do away with God. And alas, for a tiny little while, I chose the latter. I thought, no God. But I was doing a degree in the physical sciences. And anyone with half a wit, if they study the physical sciences, can't get away from God. He was the one who designed it all. The laws that I was studying in chemistry and physics were there as God's design. And I couldn't get away. So creation is abuse. And even today I heard the argument, of course I believe in God, I only have to look out the window. That's valid. But in Romans we learn this. God chose his anger from heaven against all sinful and wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. In other words, we can look at creation and how popular that when I drew the beginning of it anyway, how great thou art, that hymn. Very popular nowadays. But it'll only take you so far. It'll take you to the fact that God is big and eternal and powerful. It will drive you, creation will drive you to your knees in terror. It can't take you much further. So God in creation, yes, look for him. If when you look upon the sunrise, does the sunrise in New Town? Anyway, it's terrible, I could live whenever you look, I was going to say on these beautiful natural flowers, whenever you look on something beautiful in nature, then see the hand of God. It's okay to do that, but it'll only take you so far. So where else should we search? In Ecclesiastes, it says this, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. And in Genesis 1:27 it says, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And that's the statement of Scripture and has very much moral application for us today. So I'm not going to expand on that now. Some people say, and I've heard it said, that you look for the God within yourself or within humanity. Again, that creation, it'll take you so far. Yes, I'm looking at you, and you're all God-shaped in some ways, which makes me wonder what God is like, but anyway. And then I look at myself in the mirror and I'm wondering before, what on earth, what in heaven, that God can be like. We can see aspects of his divinity in our fellow believers. Now that, I suspect, might be a good recipe for a bit deeper fellowship among Christian believers. Hold it before you align that person, berate that person for his theological looseness. Go with me. He's made in the image of God. And before you attack that girl, make sure, go easy, there's a bit of eternity in her. That's what the Bible teaches. So we can see aspects of divinity in each other. And indeed, part of the fellowship, I suggest, within the church. It says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one hides the lamp, and so forth. We are supposed to be people who help others in their search for God. You are the light of the world. Remember hearing a preacher say that those who reflect, and we should be reflectors, we have no glory of ourselves. It is God given. And we should be reflectors of the glory of God. But in some ways that's inadequate. We're much more like fluorescent light emitters, if you'll forgive the rather technical expression. Because the more some kind of zinc compound or the light that emits light after the dust, you know, when the light's taken out, and darkness comes, there you are, it goes on glowing. Now, the longer you leave one of those things in the light, the longer it will glow in the dark. Can I suggest that is the recipe for Christian living? The longer you stay in the glory of God, the brighter will be the shining from your everyday life. So, let us help each other in the search for God, for seeing his hand, interpreting our daily experiences in the terms of God. I'll share something very personal with you. There are times when I'm afflicted by all manner of things, I think, this is the lash of God. What is he trying to say to me? That's not an easy philosophy to follow. But I would ask you to interpret many of your experiences, particularly the downsized ones. What is God saying? Seek God in the pain as well as in the rejoicing in church. Seek God in the frustrations and find God there. Interpret God in terms of your humanity. And that's so, we dealt with seeking God in creation, takes us so far. Look for God in humanity, but the image is marred. Fallen humanity, God's glory is such, it shines through. What about looking within? Kingdom is within you, it says. And in 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. There are things within, and I've said within your experience, how does that affect your thinking about how you treat your body? This is not the sign, the sort of words you give before refreshments, is it? But how do we treat our bodies? They are the temple, the Spirit of God. That frightens me, you know. It's terrifying. this reality. And yet God speaks within our heart and within our mind and so forth. In our daily living, do we come to the Lord and learn, as we read, Richard read, rather, the Word of God return, achieving what it wants to. That's true of Christian life. Our scriptures are compared to the bread of life in Bielefeld in Germany, if I do travel around a bit. In Bielefeld in Germany there's a seminary. And above the refectory in the seminary, or if you prefer, in the canteen in the theological college, there is a notice in German that I easily see. God, man, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If we are to sustain our search, if we are to in fact operate our search for God in our everyday experience, we must include the scripture. There is the secret to what God is like and where he is and what he's doing within, and let it be within. I always remember, you know, listening to people who don't believe in God. One of the questions I like to ask them, who have I been talking to? For the last, I'm not going to say how many years, but large number. Who have I been talking to all this time? It'd be like saying that, telling me that Richard doesn't exist. it'd be nonsense. Or like my wife isn't in existence. I've been talking to him year in, year out. Sometimes it's a yell of exasperation, I must confess. Desperation, but I've been talking. Who have I been talking to? Of course there is the living God, and we must seek him in prayer on our knees. So fancy you really. But I come to the main section of my, after that, no, it's not only, I've done more than introducing it, don't worry. But finally, seeking God in Christ. For it is our personal relationship with Christ, and our following after him, and the application of the blood of Christ to our fallen condition, which we continually need because we continually fall and we have to continually come back, although it's a once and for all transaction. We never need to keep short accounts with God. The verse that's really hit me recently, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. And that's it. The scriptures point to Christ. You want to understand the Old Testament? Put Christ there and you'll understand it. If you want to understand your existence and your particular pilgrimage, sorry I've used that in phrase, but your journey into seeking God, then Christ is the key. Look at the cross and you'll find an incredible number of answers. Look to the cross and apply it to your condition. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. And I suggest we need to come, and come frequently and come often, in our search for God. Look for God in your everyday life. Look for God in the once only in the news. Any excessive taking of the news will cause depression and probably severe damage. But once a day, pray about, devise prayers about the various issues that have come about. Look for God in your fellows. Look for God in the things that you see. Look for God in the experience. Look for God in the downside. But above all, look for God in Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. That's not from the New English Translation, I'm afraid. New Living Translation. It's the old Authorized Version. Sorry, I'm so old that that's the version I really know. So Christ is the one who reveals God. And if we want to seek and find Christ, look into his life. Interpret the scriptures in terms of the centrality of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. What does that mean? He is the way through to God, the Father. You see, we are too small to understand how big God is. The scripture said it himself. It is impossible in Ecclesiastes. It said it is possible that we could understand the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Can't be done. Sometimes. But Christ has made it manageable, if you like. Made it translated. He is the great interpreter of divinity. And Christ leads us to the Father. That was the whole point of the teaching in John 14. He leads us through to the Father. And that's a wonderful thing. We lead us through to God. So he says, I am the way. But that way was not easily bought. You can't flip aside a life of sinning. It must be redeemed. And the way through is the way of the cross. And Christ bore that cross for you and for I, for you and for me. And we must see him as the way. And also it says, I am the truth. Now, the truth nowadays is a rare commodity. There is much print spent about the Amur tiger, which is, I understand, nearly extinct. It is not half as nearly extinct as the truth. And we should, in fact, the truth in our everyday life is an endangered species. And the truth is found, and people think of it in philosophy, they think of it in terms of words. It is in terms of a human being, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the truth. And so as I have spent too many hours pondering about deep problems of evil and good, problems of pain and predestination and free will, all these problems, the concentration of my heart should have been on Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I must have told you about one of my fellow students. This is a long, long time ago. He was wearing a King's Own badge. I thought, oh, he's a Christian. I can't get into the Christian Union. I said, gee, that sort of man in those days, getting into the Christian Union. And I said, why don't you come along? And he said, I can't come because of Bertha. Now Bertha was not a girl. Bertha was a steam engine. And this young man, in the bowels of King's College London, there was a group of engineers who were obsessively renovating the steam engine. And he was right. He could not become a girl because his way of life was centred, and the spare minutes that he had was centred on renovating this engine. I might come into that eventually. Christianity, the invitation of Christ, and say to a group of Christians now, is an invitation to a way of life. And that what life is Jesus Christ, and following him, which means imitating him, and living like him. If we are to seek God, we are to seek him in Christ. And this is the whole pinnacle of the teaching. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and I know of no other way. This is the only way. And he is the way to the Father. God longs for you. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? But he's still longing for you. There's more to follow. There are more barriers to be broken down. A relationship to deepen. Yes, the scripture, I think, usually corporately, compares it to marriage. The church is the bride of Christ. Now, the relationship I've known in my marriage is far, far deeper now. As an old man, married to, not quite so old lady, far, far deeper. Far more meaningful than the raw 23-year-old who got married those many, well, over 50 years ago. Far deeper. Now, if that's of a human relationship, what do you think about your relationship with Christ? When you were born again, you were on the first foot onto a great path before you of discovery, of truth, and of life. There's more to get to know about Jesus. There's more to know get to know about God through the Lord Jesus. But I must emphasize, that is the way of submission a confession of the cross. There's no other way by which man must be saved. Lord, I want to pray for you now. I want to pray for myself as well, that we may get nearer to the Lord and nearer to him. And as we get nearer, remember what started off with that quote about Rehoboam. You see, it was important though. Why was it that in 2 Chronicles 17, they didn't seek the Lord? They should have sought the Lord. They had a job to do. It was not a job many people go for, it's kingship. It was monarchy. And they were not capable of leading it without seeking the Lord and putting him in his rightful place. And they didn't. And they made a mess of it. And likewise, if we do not put the Lord in his rightful place on the throne, then we too will in fact find trouble and difficulty and frustration in our seeking after God. Let's pray. Oh Holy Lord, grant us to grow nearer to you. Grant us to become more like you. Lord, deepen our walk with you. This we pray for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.